We're rambling, dude. Let's do this podcast. Did we introduce ourselves?
We did. You're Steve.
And I'm Matt.
It's a data-centric podcast with Steve and Matt. I'm Steve. You're Matt.
I'm Matt.
Yeah. All things data center. What are we paying attention to this week, Matt?
Something tells me you have a list, Stevie, right?
I have a list. A little list. So, big earnings last couple of weeks, right? All the infrastructure guys have reported. And I think our takeaway, I don't want to get into numbers. I really don't. But overall, it seems like it was a good quarter to sell client systems and to sell software as a service.
Yes.
Dell delivered good earnings, but on the back of their client business, not their server business. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But there are a couple of trends that are emerging I want to talk about, right? And that's high performance in kind of two segments. And we saw this even with Dell and HPE, which are as a service and software defined. Let me look at Dell real quick. So Dell delivered a $21 billion quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. The growth was not in the infrastructure. The infrastructure group was down 8% year over year. But there are a couple of notes on their earnings slide, right? And I think that maps to what we've seen from the other server vendors, right? Servers off about 10% on the quarter, which is not...
Yeah, I think they're a little bit up relative to the other guys. They're a little bit not as down. I guess. But it's the same trend, right? Everybody's down year over year. Makes sense. Yeah.
But what they did say in the notes, and I got the slide up on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube, but double-digit demand growth in VxRail. I'm going to lay down some data points and we can talk about what it all means. Double-digit demand growth in VxRail and high-end PowerMax. Slightly better orders in mainstream servers. They expect to gain share in this category. But then what they said, where is it at? Then what they said was, and this is the point I want to lay out there that we can talk about, is growth in recurring revenue. So their Q1 recurring revenue, and recurring revenue is data center utility as a service plus some revenue amortization, is up 16% year over year to $6 billion. That's almost a third of their revenue number for the quarter.
Wow.
Right? And then if we go look at HPE, do I have HPE slide? Crap, I don't have HPE slide. But HPE said that they are, HPE's as a service business was up 17%.
Correct, yeah.
In the first quarter.
Yep.
There it is. Yeah, so HPE grew 17% for $520 million. So what that tells me, right, if you look at what these OEMs are doing in the software as a service and as a service and GreenLake and things like that and Dell on Demand, people are buying it, right? You grew 20% in the first quarter. How much of that do you think, though, was IT shops reconfiguring for what's happening with COVID-19, and how much of that you think is just natural growth?
You know... You want my personal opinion? I think my analyst opinion is most of it is natural growth. Enterprise organizations aren't that quick in the way they consume, you know, the way they purchase, I should say, technology. You have to remember the Dell on demand, the consumption based model is relatively new, so it's still ramping. And HPE expanded some of their GreenLake offerings, which kind of feeds into that, and have been pushing it very aggressively. I think if you really want to see the impact of COVID, look at next quarter to see what the real impact of COVID was.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I agree with that. But I think we're seeing solid, I think we were a little bit skeptical 3 years ago when the OEM started talking about as a service. We're seeing it take off for everybody who delivers it. And 20% growth, or 15 to 17% growth, that's pretty good. That's solid.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, Lenovo saw good growth in their as a service as well. Their TruScale, they're all seeing an uptake and picking up of it. And it makes sense. And you're right. We were definitely skeptical. But, you know, as you think about it more and more, and you think about how quickly the requirements within the data center are moving around infrastructure, it makes absolutely perfect sense, this model.
So, yeah, and I think what goes along with that is what we saw from VMware and Nutanix. So at a high level together, VMware and Nutanix delivered a $3 billion quarter. That was solid growth for both of them. If you break it out a little bit, VMware delivered $2.7 billion on the quarter.
Okay.
Right?
So VMware delivered almost $3 billion.
All by themselves. But here's what's interesting. If you look at the revenue shift, right, VMware has traditionally been all about vSphere and ESX and just basic blocking and tackling of virtualization. So we're seeing a couple of things. And the slide I have up now that you can't see, Matt, is their subscription and software as a service business is now 21% of their revenue. So that includes things like VMware Cloud, Pivotal, Wavefront, Horizon Cloud, Carbon Black, things like that. Yep. Those are their as-a-service offerings. And then you look at their where their bookings are. So NSX, that's their virtual network, is up over 20%. vSAN is up over 20%. Their core product offerings declined in middle single digits. And their overall core business was down 7%. So you're seeing all of the growth in vSAN and network virtualization, which kind of go hand in hand in my mind.
And by the way, you know, I'm not as familiar with NSX from a kind of revenue perspective, but vSAN, it's not like they're starting from a low point. 20% growth on already very healthy revenues, that's pretty phenomenal.
Well, I think as you go to a software-defined data center, right?
Yeah.
Network virtualization becomes, you know, core to what you're doing.
Sure.
Right. So as vSAN grows, I think you're going to see a natural NSX. I think there's some natural pull there.
Yeah. My only point is I'm not sure how big their NSX revenue stream has been in the past quarter. I know vSAN has been very significant. So, you know, it's incredible to me that it's not like they're starting at, you know.
Right. They're not doubling a $25 million business. It's substantial.
Yeah.
It's a core piece of their business.
Which says a lot to what you're saying about.
But that's interesting. We've been talking about converged infrastructure and software defined for a while, but this, I think, is really the first couple of quarters, and we'll talk about Nutanix in a second, where I think we're seeing significant gains and enough data points to call a trend. Nutanix, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Nutanix, who we love to talk about, we've been following them for a long time. You know, they started off, they largely invented the HCI category. They sold appliances. They made a lot of money from Dell, selling Dell appliances. Where was I going with this? They made the decision to transition to a subscription software only model. And they, you know, stumbled a little bit as they did that. And we're talking through 2018, even through a big part of 2019. And a lot of financial analysts wrote these guys off, right? They're never going to catch up to VMware. They're never going to win. And then they showed up this quarter, and they beat all the earnings projections. They delivered, you know, a $380 million quarter. Right, that's shown about $1.5 billion run rate for the year. And for a company the size of Nutanix, that's substantial. That's up 17%. VMware was up about 17%. All the software services were up about 17%. So if somebody were counting this, there's a clear trend there. But they're up. They beat the market. They delivered 17% growth, $380 million. The bulk of that is subscription stuff. I'm looking at their numbers, see if there's anything we're talking about here. I guess my point is, you know, we're not just seeing traction as the as a service. We're seeing a lot of success in the software-defined infrastructure, and it's not all coming from VMware. And in fact, Nutanix is probably growing, in some accounts, as the anti-VMware solution, right? I'd say, but
yeah. You know, I think when I look at the kind of the VMware with the vSANs and the Nutanixes of the world, and you ask the question about the impact of COVID on server sales shifting to as a service or consumption based, I think there's probably a bigger COVID plays has a bigger role in the revenues of vSAN and or companies like VMware and Nutanix, probably a little bit more more influential on those numbers than on the server side, because now you're getting into deployment, the ability to turn on you know, software or subscription based software is a lot easier than it is to procure hardware, right? So I think you're probably seeing a little bit more of an impact, but the trend is there. The growth, and I think actually COVID is going to further push this trend and accelerate the adoption of, you know, software defined, if you will, infrastructure, whether it's HCI, CI, you know, composable, you name it. I think you're going to see COVID greatly greatly accelerate the adoption of that within the enterprise.
Well, and it also begs the conversation, and right, we were both there for kind of the great virtualization era, right, 15 years ago. And, you know, all the server guys, and we were at AMD, right, so we were counting server parts, and what's the impact of virtualization going to be, right? Are people going to buy virtualization now instead of new servers and better utilize the servers? And the same questions are happening in my mind. We have all of this installed base. We're almost over-serving the market with CPU cycles. Are people deploying, you know, frameworks like Nutanix and solutions like VMware over existing hardware to better kind of leverage those resources and keeping the hardware market stalled? Or, you know, is this just driving new deployments and management models, or is it too early to say?
What do you think? I have my thoughts. What are yours?
I think it's a little early to say. I think there's going to be some of this. Let's reprovision existing gear. But IT guys don't like to do that. IT guys like to deploy a rack of new equipment, right? But
they do.
Yeah,
I think it depends on the deployment model. I think if you're looking at, you know, HCI kind of in a, you and I talk about edge all the time, but, you know, in the robo edge, if you will, I think you're going to probably see a greater new hardware attach with those deployment models, because typically, you know, you're going to be seeing hardware that's in these robos, and, you know, whether it's a CVS location or, you know, a small office.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at hardware that's a little bit outdated, and they're just going to do a modernization project to bring everybody up and completely managed. You know, I think maybe some of the core traditional data center, you know, to what you're saying, probably just kind of reuse what you have because it's, you know, it's it's there, it's a little bit more current and so on.
Yeah, no, I think we're still, you know, we're seeing trends, we're seeing growth, but it's still early days, right? And I think we're probably seeing lots of experiments on existing hardware, you know, maybe some workload verticals, if you will, that are shifting to the model. And you know, the nice thing about both Nutanix and the VMware stuff that's selling is it's a bridge to the cloud. So organizations, you know, they're struggling with how do I manage cloud and bridge cloud with on-prem, and we're seeing a lot of activity there. You know, NetApp just this week bought Spot.io, that kind of steps up to solve that problem for people. There's a handful of companies that do that, right? So it's a problem IT's struggling with. And, you know, Nutanix and VMware kind of give me a path towards that in some way.
I think, you know, I've spoken with the Dell folks a lot on this. Dell Technologies, so the, you know, some folks from VMware and Dell on this. And I really like the way they talk about that bridge to the cloud with VCF, with VMware Cloud Foundation. And kind of talking about true hybrid cloud, right? I think a lot of IT shops, when they hear the word hybrid cloud, they think, well, if I have private cloud and then I use public cloud, then I have hybrid cloud because I have two clouds. And that's really, or if I have multiple clouds, but that's really not it, right? It's the connectivity to what you said, it's that bridge, that connectivity from on-prem to off-prem without a lot of Steve or Matt's having to do anything to build those bridges, right? The ability to burst out and burst and contract back in on demand without human intervention, right? Or move data. That's, to me, is kind of the really interesting element to all of this. And I think you're right. Nutanix and VMware are doing are probably, you know, they're probably on the front end of kind of, you know, bringing technology that simplifies that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, we don't talk about other HCI players at this point, right? It's VMware and Nutanix, unless we're talking about Edge. In Edge, we have guys like Scale Computing and Pivot3. You know, HPE talks a little about SimpliVity, but I don't get the impression that's a huge part of their business anymore.
They have a healthy relationship with Nutanix as well. Mm-hmm.
You know, they do. And yeah. Lenovo was selling VMware. Nutanix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I mean to step on you there. You keep going, Steve. You're right.
You've been stepping on me my whole life, Maddie. That was most of what I wanted to talk about. Is kind of, you know, the
I wish I stepped a little harder when you were younger.
Are the trends we've seen emerge out of the earnings, right? And those are the ones that really caught my eye. You know, that we're down for the quarter on hardware sales doesn't surprise me. You know, even if you wanted to install servers, there's nobody in the data center last month to do it, right? So exactly. There's naturally going to be, you know, there's supply chain stuff out of Asia, and everybody talked about that. And then there's just, you know, I think it's not just IT, right? I think the world kind of hit the pause button last quarter, and now there's so much uncertainty. I think this quarter is going to be ugly as well. It's interesting that they're still buying the software and the tools.
But it goes back to what we're saying, right? As a service, it's easier to consume that, right? You subscribe to it, you utilize it, and away you go. Or even subscription based, you don't necessarily have to be there. The hardware is an entirely different beast. But into what you're saying, next quarter will probably be a little bit ugly too. Mm-hmm. I do think though that bounce back will happen, and maybe you see kind of a burst because all these projects that have been stalled start to pick up again, right?
Right. Well, and the other thing around as a service, and particularly in a time where we don't know what's going to happen in the economy over the next 12, 18 months, it's less risky, right? Instead of $10 million in capital spend to deploy a few racks, I can make that OpEx and spread it over 4 years. And if I don't need it in a year, I can just turn it off, right? That's shifting the risk now. And the burden of maintaining that CapEx to my vendors, whether it's Dell or HP or whomever.
Yeah.
And that's nice, right?
In some weird way, I think there is a little bit of kind of positive outcome from all this COVID for IT and for the IT solution vendors, and that's OEMs, software provider. And that is... going back to this, you know, having to really stress test and find the leaks in kind of the remote management capabilities, deployment provisioning capabilities, and building a whole suite of services and products around that and accounting for that. Right. It's long overdue, right? Because mm-hmm. we've been talking about it for decades. But this is really the first time we've really had to push these products to their capability limits, right?
Right.
And I think that's going to serve well, and I think it's going, like we were talking about, I think it's going to accelerate. IT folks, IT organizations are going to kind of normalize to some degree around some of these remote capabilities.
Yes. I think you're right, and this is part of the conversation we had when we had the operations guy from Pure on, right, is we are stress testing. I think you equated it to like sea trials for a new ship, but all of this remote management stuff that's really never been tested. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that we've been, you know, lights out across the board, so we're going to learn a lot, and it's going to impact what people buy and how they buy. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. What else you got? Have we bored our audience enough?
Do you want to talk about the fact that it looks like there's not going to be a baseball season?
No. Next week's podcast will be full of storage news, right?
Can't wait.
Yeah, so we're putting this out. We're recording this a little before the embargo, but we'll wait and put this out. So HPE today announced some updates to their storage and info site, which are interesting and worth talking about. It's plain, you know, the autonomic data center, I know, Matt, is near and dear to your heart. So what HPE announced today brings some autonomous capabilities to the data center. They're going a little beyond just making recommendations. And then Pure Storage has some new products that we'll be talking about as well.
Very cool. Through InfoSight for HPE, I'm guessing?
It's InfoSight for HPE, and then there's some updates to their Nimble Storage stuff. And some brand repositioning at the high end, right? They're no longer talking about 3PAR. That's become kind of a legacy system. So we're seeing an alignment across the storage guys and how they're talking about their storage portfolios. That's good for IT. There's a kind of a gross simplification across the board, if not from a technology perspective, then from a branding perspective for sure.
Makes it easier to consume.
So we'll talk about that. And then I don't know what else we'll talk about. We'll find something for you to say.
Well, something to talk about on the server side, I'm sure.
You could tell us about baseball in Houston, where it's going to be 95 and 95% humidity.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Cannot wait.
Yeah. All right, let me stop recording.